Grace to you and peace in the name of our coming Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm always a bit amused at the end of football games when the team with the ball, who also has a substantial lead, decides to take a knee with 30 seconds or so left on the clock, and then immediately the players all begin to shake hands and the coaches run out on the field to do the same. And sometimes, as you've seen, I'm sure yourself, with as much as 25 seconds left on the clock, the field will be full of players and coaches and family members and cheerleaders and sometimes fans too and reporters. Everybody just clogging up all over the, they're just everywhere all over the field. But the game isn't over. There's still time on the clock. So why don't the referees stop the clock and clear the field so they can play the game until the buzzer blows? Because at that point, the game is as good as over. The game clock will expire before the play clock will expire, and so there's no need to run another play. And since even another score by the trailing team would not change the outcome of the game, there's no need for anyone to call a timeout. And thus, as you know, while the game may not be officially over with 25 seconds left on the clock, it is as good as over. To the players and the coaches, that game is already in the books. I thought of this scenario as I read today's gospel text, which is the song of Zechariah. Now, as we know, Zechariah was a priest, and he and his wife Elizabeth were both upright in observing and following God's commandments. They were also, the scriptures tell us, both well along in years. But they unfortunately had no children because Elizabeth had been barren her whole life. Until one day the angel Gabriel came to Zechariah and pronounced to him that God had heard his prayers and that his wife Elizabeth was going to become pregnant and that she was going to give birth to a son. Furthermore, this angel told him that his son would be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth, and that he would go before the Lord in the power of Elijah to make God's people ready for the coming of their Messiah. But Zechariah had a hard time believing the angel's words, especially without any sort of proof. But then his wife did become pregnant. And she did give birth to a son. And Zechariah himself was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he began to sing, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come, and he has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation in the house of his servant David." What's interesting about this is that Zechariah in his song spoke of all this as already completed actions. But Jesus had not been born yet. He didn't save anybody yet. He hadn't died on the cross to forgive anyone's sins yet. The game wasn't over. There was still time left on the clock. But not for Zechariah. For him, the time had already expired. For him, it was as if Jesus had already come and already done all of those things because they were that certain in his mind. The arrival of his son, John, proved to him the faithfulness of God. And thus, while Jesus was yet to be born, and yet to die to forgive anyone their sins, and yet to rise from the dead to overcome the grave and bring all of us salvation, Yet he spoke of all of that in the past tense. For he had seen and he had experienced God's faithfulness firsthand in his own life there with the birth of his son John. And because of that, he now trusted fully and firmly in God to keep his other promises too. Any future or yet to be accomplished promise of God, Zechariah regarded as an already accomplished fact. And we can too. Because you see, we too have experienced the faithfulness of God firsthand. We experienced it in the water and the word of holy baptism. In that simple act, God washed us of our sin. And in that moment, he gave to us the gift of everlasting life. And even though now, sitting here, we can't see or touch or feel that salvation, we know that it is certain. That it's a done deal. That it's like we've already been welcomed into the eternity of heaven because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. What our Savior did there at the cross and what he accomplished by rising for us from the grave, that assures us that our sins have been forgiven and that our place in heaven has already been prepared. We can speak, and we should speak, of our salvation as if it's already happened. Because Jesus has made it that certain for each of us. You know, I've often spoke with members and other Christians too who have expressed their hope of being saved and their hope of going to heaven. But they speak of that hope not in the sense of certain Christian hope, but in the sense of like wishful thinking. I hope I get to go to heaven. I hope so. And they'll say things like, well, I've tried to be a good Christian. Yeah, I've tried to be a good church member. Unfortunately, they still don't get it. Even though they've probably heard it proclaimed them hundreds, if not thousands of times. Our salvation is not based upon our faithfulness, but upon God's faithfulness. And thus, our salvation is certain. It's a done deal. We've already been saved. It happened when we were baptized. Baptized into the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And even though the game clock is still ticking, as are our hearts and as this world, it might as well all be over. For by God's grace, we have already won. It took the birth of his son John in his and his wife's old age to understand that. But Zechariah finally learned that God is absolutely faithful in keeping his promises. He was faithful to Zechariah. He was faithful to Israel. And he has, and he will be faithful to us also. He's already saved us. And now in our lives, he will continue to lead us and to guide us and to forgive us and to help us and to strengthen us and to rescue us. And one day, he will come back and welcome us into our heavenly home. I pray that we might live with that certainty and that trust for the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.